Good to be together, good to be just filled and relaxed and enjoying the presence, the goodness, the blessing of the Lord. I know when you got up this morning, you didn't plan on saying today that thine unction grace bestoweth. But it's good, isn't it? Because his unction grace bestows, right? So let it fill you. We're going to consider a psalm that gets labeled as a wisdom psalm. It's one of the categories. There's probably not a lot in that category, but there's a few. I think the intention of this psalm is to teach us something. In the case of this particular psalm, it's to teach us, I think, something fundamental. Now, my prayer for us, my hope for us, I think your own prayer and own hope for us goes well beyond the fundamentals. Indeed, we hope to partake of and walk in and know the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of the grace and the love of Christ. But it's interesting that whenever you encounter in your own life or in a group or limitation or distortion, failing with greater things, with things of maturity, with some of the high things or the low things or the broad things, some of the deep things, usually you would also find there some lack or some glitch or some fault in the fundamentals. So it's seldom that the fundamentals are fully intact and it's just the second story of the building that's awful. Usually when the second story starts to go awry, you'll find that there's some glitch or some fault down there in the foundation. So I think this psalm works to teach us something fundamental. You're probably not going to hear anything new today. So it'll be things that you know, things that you have heard. But use the psalm just to check on your fundamentals. Things that you know, things that you have heard, that you haven't drifted from them or wandered from them or just need them renewed and refreshed. So let's begin just thinking. Probably you have had it said to you sometime during the course of your life, or perhaps you've also said to another, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to ever forget it. So maybe a parent said that to you, maybe relative, maybe a friend, you know, maybe a fellow employee, but somebody probably has said to you, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to ever forget it. That person feels like they're going to give you some wisdom, and they think that what they're going to tell you should be fundamental to your perspective and your understanding of life. Maybe somebody said to you, I don't want you to ever forget this. A person's most valuable possession is, and they put something in the blank. It can range from probably smaller matters or specific things all the way to an all-encompassing life statement. I can picture my dad the first time I got to carry the gun hunting. I'm going to tell you something, I don't want you to ever forget this. Guns are not toys. Could be something like that. You know, another version of the same kind of thing would be, don't ever let anyone tell you blank, right? Maybe you've had that said to you. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're not good enough or something like that. So when we say, I don't want you to ever forget this, or when we say, don't let anyone ever tell you blank, we probably don't mean by saying those words that I want you to be consciously thinking about this 24/7. Rather, what we mean by those words is we want what's said there to be some type of deep, settled conviction, some deep, settled understanding about how life is. So that if I never forget that guns are not toys, then I'll just never play with them. I'll never horse around with them. Never do the things that others have done with them and ended up getting hurt or hurting others. So I don't have to think about it consciously 24/7. But if it gets to be some type of deep, settled conviction or understanding, I just live my life in accordance with that. I think the guys who wrote Psalm 49 want to tell us a couple of things and say to us, I don't want you to ever forget this. Not that what they tell us you should be thinking about 24/7, or you should say when you first touch the floor after you get out of bed every day. I don't think they mean that, but they do mean we want to tell you something that should be part of your understanding of life and of people. I think the psalm wants to teach us about how to think about people, human beings. How should we relate to other human beings? So what is it that we should know inside about other people? Whether it's in a stadium and you're surrounded by 100,000 nameless faces, what should you think about all those people? Or what should you think about perhaps if you're looking into the eyes of just your one and only? Or perhaps the eyes of your own child? Or perhaps sitting across the table from a friend of 20 years? What should you think about that person? Or what should you think about perhaps you're crossing paths with a great celebrity or a powerful leader, you know, or a pro athlete that you admire? What should you think about that person? I think the psalm wants to teach us a couple of things. Says, I don't want you to ever forget this about people and about how to relate to them. The psalm teaches some things about what's true of every person that there is. It gives us some understanding of what it means to be a human being. So we'll just read it first. It's Psalm 49. I'll put it up here, but you can follow it in your own Bible. I said some guys wrote it because it's one of the psalms of the sons of Korah. I don't know who those guys were, but it sounds like there were a few of them. Korah had a few boys who put together some psalms. So this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, O peoples, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp. Why should I fear in days of adversity when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. That he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. For he sees that even wise men die. The stupid and the senseless alike will perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names. But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish and of those after them who approve their words. As sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. And their form shall be for Sheol to consume, so that they have no habitation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself. And though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. So there's Psalm 49. You see there right at the start, those sons of Korah, you know, tell us that we should all listen. That what they have to say applies to all people, every human being that there is. And they want to tell us something that they say will make us wise, will give us some understanding. And then what they do is they raise the question of how should you respond to people who have made it in the world? They've become rich and famous. How should you respond to those people? Those people who are rich, they're powerful, they even boast and trust in their riches and in their power. And he asks the question, why should I fear those people? Why should I reverence them? Or why should I be afraid of them? Why should I be nervous in their presence? And then they tell us a couple of things they want us to know about people, whether they're high or low or whether they're rich or poor. They tell us some things they want us to know. They don't want us to forget. The first thing they tell us, verse 7, if you're following it there, is that no one can redeem another. Their first focus is on what is a person capable of with respect to other people. And what they want us to know is that no matter how rich they are, how powerful they are, how accomplished they are, how smart they are, they don't have the means to save, to redeem anybody else. They can't give everlasting life. They can't overcome death for another. So the point they want to make is they want us to know about other people, whether it's that 100,000 people sitting around you in the stadium, that pro celebrity that you just met, no one has the power or the resources to redeem his brother. They can't save anybody. They can't give anybody everlasting life. So know that. That's what you should think about other people. And then the second thing they want us to know about everybody is that the other person is going to die. And not only are they going to die, they're going to experience the loss of earthly things that comes when somebody dies. So they can't redeem others, but the second point they make, they also can't redeem themselves. You know, no man can redeem himself, no woman can redeem herself, but rather they're going to die. And whatever they've done, whatever they have, they're going to leave it behind. Even if they've tried to gain immortality by fortunes, by amassing fortunes, by making a building that has their name on it, by getting their name on a highway, by leaving some type of legacy, even if they try to form immortality some way, they won't. The only permanent health they're going to have is their tomb. They're not going to endure. Whether their name's on stuff or not, or whether they have legacies or foundations, they won't endure. So no one endures by his own action, by his own power. So two things that they say, I don't want you to ever forget this, that the human being can't save himself, and that the human being is going to die. And in dying, they're going to leave it all behind. I want you to know that. And they also want you to know that the human being can't save anyone else. No matter how clever they are, how rich, how famous, they can't save anybody else. If you know that about people, I think it'll take away any fear that you have of people. Probably fear in two senses. Fear in a sense of just being afraid of somebody, afraid of who they are, afraid of what they might do to you. But also fear, perhaps in a sense of reverencing someone or being awed by them. As if that particular person, because of their accomplishment or because of their wealth or because of their power or because of their celebrity, they're not like other people. And so you reverence them and you stand in awe of them in some way. But if you know about that other person, they can't redeem anybody else, and they're going to die. Kind of like, why should I fear them? Throughout this psalm, there's a reminder to us, be careful of the criteria by which you are wowed. So what wows you? 12,000 square foot house? Wow. CEO of a business? Wow. President of something, country, a business, something? Is that wow you? Awesome good looks? Wow. Careful of the criteria, you know, that by which you're wowed. You know, PhD, lots of letters after your name. Is that a wow factor for you? Think of somebody that if they were suddenly to walk into this room, you would be nervous. You know, maybe it's your boss. What's he doing here, you know, or what's she doing here? Or maybe it's like a movie star. Kind of like, wow, they're on TV, and look, they're here. on a Sunday afternoon. And you would be almost nervous to go meet them because they're not like other people. Well, whoever walked through that door, you should know they can't save anybody and they're going to die. And when they die, they're going to leave everything that they've accomplished and that they have behind. So rethink, what are you wowed by? And be careful how you apply that to others, lest you reverence or find yourself awed by things that you ought not to be. But now, there's another thing in this psalm that we should never forget. So we should also know this. Know that souls can be redeemed. And souls are redeemed. And also know that the redemption is very costly. Another has to do it, because no human being can do it for himself or herself. No other human being can do it for them. So another has to do it, and it's very costly. But souls can be and are redeemed. There was another who was able to do redemption. There was another who was able to pay the price. No one can avoid death. I mean, everyone is headed for the grave, headed for Sheol. But God can redeem the soul from the power of Sheol. Know that. So you may be sitting next to somebody who's the recipient of some very costly things from God. They've been the recipient of things that are beyond the reach of themselves personally. They couldn't have done it for themselves. They couldn't give it to themselves, no matter who they are. And they're also the recipient of something that's beyond the capability and the reach of every other human being on the planet. Not the richest, not the most powerful, not the best looking, not the best known, not the most talented. They're the recipient of something that's beyond their reach that nobody could give to them. None. I mean, you probably are, in fact, sitting next to one who is going to be victorious over death. Poke them and say, man, I didn't know that about you. One who has been given everlasting life. For them, kind of death has lost its sting. Death has no power over them. So how should we understand, how should we relate to people, to the human person? You walk into Vons. You know, what should you think of those two people standing in the checkout line in front of you? You know, what should you think about those people? Or you go to the hospital, perhaps to visit your ailing grandmother, to see her there. Or perhaps you go to the hospital in order to leave a couple days later with a baby. Or what should you think when you meet the celebrity? The person whose autograph you would like to have. A sports icon, the world leader. Here's a picture of me shaking hands with some world-known personality. What should you think of that person? What should you think of the brilliant billionaire, the company CEO? I mean, what should you think about the person who's pushing the shopping cart on the street? Or the mentally unstable person? I think it's easy on the one side to be too reverential, too awed. You think too highly of others. You know, you fear them too much. You have the fear of people. Because they're rich, or because they're famous, or because they're a celebrity, because they got letters after their name. You're too awed by that. You can have that on the one side. On the other side, we can be too dismissive. Think too little of others. Think our world is often pretty screwed up in how it treats people. We revere celebrities. You know, we treat the rich and famous like they're gods. On the other side, we have debates about whether it would be better to rescue the cat or grandma if the house is on fire. And which one should you go in after? Or the cat or the mentally ill person? You know, which one do you leave? And we have debates about that. I think the wisdom of this psalm can help us in how to understand all people, that we should know about every person that none can redeem himself, none can redeem herself, none can redeem anybody else. So don't fear them, don't reverence them as if they can save themselves or others. They're all going to die. I mean, they're going to leave when they die, even as they were born. They came in naked, they're going to leave naked. They're going to leave it all behind. But also we should know that they are so loved by God that God did something that's very costly for them. Something beyond the reach of every human person, individually or all put together. God did something out of love for them that's very costly. And they can receive the redemption, which is beyond the resource of the whole human race put together. And if God did such a costly thing for that person, the outcome of that, of God doing that costly thing being victory over death, everlasting life, how could then we dismiss anybody as a nobody, as unimportant? So just check yourself about your thinking about people and your relating to people. All people, high people, low people, rich people, poor people, powerful people, people, the powerless, how do you relate to them? But especially in the focus of the psalm directs us, especially check yourself with those, how you relate to those who possess what the world most admires and what the world most rewards, those who receive the praise and the accolades of the world, people that have large balance sheets but can't save anybody. Check how you relate to those people. People who have looks and have talent but don't live forever. Check yourself with how you relate to the guy that has the most toys. I always like that bumper sticker that the one who dies with the most toys wins, but he still dies. And he leaves his toys behind. So be careful, have too much reverence for the guy with the most toys. Check yourself with respect to the ruler who can command armies, but he has no command over the grave. But also check yourself and how what you know and how you think and how you relate to people for whom God, in his love, did a very costly thing. And that it truly is possible for people to not be like the animals which perish. I'm not weighing in on animal theology, by the way, okay? But it's possible for people not to be like the animals who just perish and are gone. It's possible for them, because of what God did in his love, and it was very costly, for them to have everlasting life. And you should know that about people standing in line in front of you, and the people you work for, the people who work for you, the people that you marry, people that you're crabby at. Sometimes those are the same people, you never know, but just how you think about people. Those fundamental things, don't ever forget it. So just check yourself there. Again, probably not new things, probably things that you haven't heard, but if you capture the wisdom of this psalm, it will help you with the fear of people or an undue reverence of them. It also helps you not to be dismissive or write anybody off because they're not a player from the world's perspective. They don't get the accolades or have the power or the prestige or the riches or the fame that the world rewards, because you realize they are the recipient of a costly thing from God in his love. So I think that helps us orientate and live with respect to people the right way.